Edward was kind of a bust.
Sure was.
At least as far as working, like East Texas, apparently kind of bad.
Yeah, I am like, look, calling weather for kids, I get. Do we need to call that at 4 p.m.?
Yeah, the day before.
Not
before
one anything. Drop of rain has hit the ground, and we're like, we're canceling. Yeah,
I hear that.
Like, do we need that much leeway? Like,
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Like, I'm okay. Like, when I was a kid, you'd have to wake up, and like, you'd be on the TV. Like, that's
on
how...
On the TV.
Yeah, that's how you would find out. I don't know how people did it pre-TV. If you just like...
Telephones. You'd get a phone call.
Really?
Yeah. The schools had like a phone tree system, basically. That's what Pastor Harry told me anyway. He's older than we are, so I believed him.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunny Podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunny morning. We have no weather.
We have thunder happening right now.
Yeah, but yeah, as a listener, we're coming to you, rain or shine.
That's okay? Right. No cancellations here.
Eduardo.
We did reschedule our recording time because of because schools were canceled and we both had to be with kids.
Yeah. Yes, but, you know.
We're coming to you.
We're coming to you. Eduardo can't stop us.
That's right.
I mean, he probably could have if he actually came into our area.
I don't know.
But regardless. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And no Elise McCarter.
Nah. Edward got her.
he got her. I don't want to use the word casualty, but you know.
Let's not do that.
But there you go. All right. We are back in September.
Whoo, happy September, everybody.
Yeah, so
getting
means...
that fall feels going. It's still 110 degrees outside here in Houston, so are you feeling fall-y? Do you like fall? Is fall a good season for you?
I mean, we don't really have a fall.
Yeah, I guess you've lived here your whole life, so you don't even like know what fall is supposed to
That's
be.
That's true. Like... All the things about fall in movies, I don't really know.
Yeah.
Like, spring and summer, we get.
Yeah.
Like, I get those seasons. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Fall and winter, it's just not really a thing.
That's fair. I miss fall.
Okay. I hear it's great.
Yeah. Like, the
word on the street is fall's awesome.
The time when it genuinely, like, oh, there's like... It was 90 degrees one day, and the next day there's that cool, crisp air, and it comes through, and it's like never going to be above 70 again. You're like, yeah, that's the moment. Those are good days. I miss that.
Yeah, we kind of have a Finter, you know, a fall-winter combo.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's not really either.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. So, Texas life.
Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah, so we'll be talking about slavery today. You know,
for all seasons.
Yeah, it's celebrate that nice pumpkin spice latte with a chat about slavery.
I mean,
what does the Bible have to say about slavery?
I will say this: there's a lot of things in that pumpkin spice latte that probably have historically and probably even presently involved slavery. So beware of that.
It's almost guaranteed. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
but what does the Bible have to say? The Bible has nothing to say about your pumpkin spice latte, to be clear. It does have things to say about slavery.
I'm sure for some Christians, they're thinking it has a lot to say about your pumpkin spice latte.
It's possible.
Yeah. Probably because it's woke or something.
Right. Is the latte woke or is the Bible woke? It's hard to say.
I think the pumpkin spice is woke.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay.
Yeah, if I'm being honest.
It makes you...
Latte is probably also woke. Coffee, not woke.
Right,
latte, not woke.
Right,
yeah,
sure.
So.
The addition of the latte.
Yes.
I don't know what makes a latte a latte. Milk, maybe?
I think it is milk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, milk is woke, but not organic.
Not... raw milk, not woke.
Raw milk.
If it's a raw milk coffee...
A raw milk latte.
It's totally asleep. Latte, again, latte, the word latte is woke.
Raw milk coffee is asleep. Pumpkin spice, definitely woke.
So woke. Yeah.
All the spices.
Yeah. I think for people who are thinking that stuff is woke, pumpkin spice might as well have pronouns. Okay. Like, that's what they're thinking.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
All right, but before we get there, let's go to our news segment.
Was it not about pumpkin spice?
It's not about pumpkin spice, yeah. Dozens of young people.
Dozens, okay.
Gathered recently on a beach in Peru.
Oh.
In Lima.
We've been to beaches in Peru.
Yeah, not in Lima, but I have been to
outside
a beach.
Of Lima.
I have been to a beach. I've gotten in the ocean.
There you go.
The Peruvians were like, you don't want to do that. I was like, I'm here. They did not get in the ocean yeah. with us.
What do they know? What do they know that you know?
They said it was going to be cold.
Was it?
It was kind of cold.
Yeah.
And they said it. The current can be pretty strong if you go past the surface.
So it was like a danger thing, not like a the water is dirty thing.
No.
Okay.
And yeah. I mean, I went up to like butt height.
Sure. You're not like going for a Olympic swim in the Peruvian.
But it was like, Pacific. I want to be in the, you know, check it off.
Yeah. And I was in the Pacific in Peru. Yeah.
Well, anyway, in Lima, dozens of young people have gathered to dance, pose, and show off their most creative moves, all in the pursuit of one thing.
Okay.
Aura.
Aura. Okay.
This is aura farming battles.
Oh my goodness.
Are right. happening.
I have only the vaguest of understanding of what aura farming is. So I'm going to go ahead and assume that many of our listeners may be thinking that we're speaking a foreign language right now. Would you, as our resident young person, would you like to...
I'm the oldest person on the podcast.
As our resident person who's in touch with the young people, would you like to help give us a brief explanation of aura farming?
All right. Well, aura is basically like your presence.
Yeah.
You know, like...
That one I knew.
How you kind of, in a room, what is the vibe you're giving off?
Yeah.
And so if you have a strong aura, that's a strong vibe. Like, you're looking cool. You're looking good.
Yeah.
You know, like that's
not necessarily like an extroversion, introversion thing,
no.
but can,
sure.
that can play into
how
it.
How yeah. you're projecting.
Yeah.
Personality based on clothing, based on
yeah.
you know, style, all these things. How you're projecting is your aura.
Mm-hmm.
And aura farming, it would be like ways that you're like you're aware of your aura and how you're intentionally doing things to increase it.
All right. So I was under the impression, misguided perhaps, that aura farming was a negative thing. Like, you should not be aura farming, because that means that you're aware of your aura, and by being aware of it, you're automatically decreasing it.
Sure, sure.
That was my limited understanding. Is that no longer the case? Now we can go and battle for our aura?
Well, I think in some ways, you know, like it is like too much is bad.
Okay.
But a little is good.
Okay.
Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you are dressing up in a costume, you know, like I would say like intentionally dumb, bad costume, that's good.
Yeah.
An amazing costume that you put
yeah.
hours upon hours of time into, that's good.
Right.
But in the between yeah. is where it's bad.
Just a mid-bad costume.
Yeah. That yeah, where it's like...
That would be mid. That's
another
thing.
You've obviously invested some, but it did not turn out good.
Right.
That's the bad zone.
Okay.
So
you don't want to farm poorly.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're going to farm, go big.
That's true. I don't know if it has... In farming, like, you got to rotate the crops.
Right, yeah.
You know, like, you got to rotate the aura.
Sure.
You can't just rely on one thing every year.
I mean, that would make sense. Yeah,
the soil is going
to I think in aura farming, you have to do new things. I don't think you can go back to the well over and over. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so the aura battle
is
you come to this, you know, to the beach in Lima, and two people will step out.
Yeah.
Dressed up as characters, maybe from comic books or animated films.
So we're doing a little cosplay here.
Vying for the crowd's applause and cheers. You might do vibe, just like poses, dances, show off your costumes, facial expressions.
Sure. Okay.
Whatever you want that to do, that's what it is.
So it's not like a battle of wits or a battle of like strength and agility. It's just, I'm in a costume and I'm going to be out here competing against the other person in a costume to get people to applaud for me.
Yeah. Whoever gets the crowd more into them is going to win.
Listen, I'm not usually an Old Testament guy.
Stone them.
I was going to say flood, but sure, stone. Why not?
You don't flood me. I'm not doing that.
No, man, we just all of us, we're done.
Yeah.
This is it. This is the end. This is how we bring ourselves down.
Yeah. You know, look, I'm of the opinion mostly that the kids are all right these days.
Yeah.
I think they're doing a lot of great things, a lot of cool things, a lot of interesting things. Some of their slang, I think, is fun and funny.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
I mean, this one,
you're not listening to those kids. But if you know kids,
that's right. If you are someone who knows kids,
tell them that.
But all we have to do, you and I just have to go start our own aura farming competition, and that'll end it.
That's true.
That's the
just go out there.
Yeah.
In our polos.
And or a farm.
In our golf shirts.
Listen.
And pleated pants.
Pleated pants? I don't have pleats in my pants. Do you have pleats in your pants?
No, I'm wearing shorts.
Do you wear pleated pants?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm not even quite sure what a pleat is, but I don't think
it's
I have
It's like
any.
A fold.
Yeah. No. But it seems like we would have pleated pants. Our short sleeves and ties.
There you go.
That.
Yeah, with that, a pocket protector.
That's intentional, nerd.
Oh, shoot. We're actually farming effectively. Yeah.
Maybe cell phone holder
on
the side.
Yeah.
You know.
The belt clip
the
for the
belt,
cell phone.
Cell phone
with
holder.
A BlackBerry instead of a cell phone.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Again, like big wired headphones is cool. You know, the Air Bud is cool.
Yeah.
But you got to, in between.
Not cool.
That's not cool.
Yeah.
So like a Bluetooth with a wire.
Yes.
Yeah. Where both sides are connected. That's probably not cool.
Yeah.
Or like bigger than just a bud. That's not cool. So maybe that's what we need to do. Yeah.
Yeah. This is definitely where we should be spending our time. That's great.
Here's what one of our Aura farmers has to say. Aura farmers about letting your essence flow in a place where people are watching you, but where there is no shame. And he was dressed up as Shrek to do some aura farming.
I'm going
to
go ahead and say letting your essence flow is something that you should not do in public. I don't know exactly what it means, but it seems like
you're not on board with that?
No.
Yeah.
Keep that to yourself.
Do you want to do, maybe you and Pastor Harry could do like an aura competition on Sunday morning?
I think I win that one.
You do? You think so? Okay.
I think because I have even a slight idea of what an aura competition would be.
Yeah, maybe.
I might have a leg up in that particular battle. There's no shade to Pastor Harry. He's got his own aura, but I think I could handle that one.
Yeah.
He might be the only person on staff that I have a shot against.
Probably some of the older ladies as well.
Maybe. I don't know. They've got their own niche.
That's true. You know, they're appealing to their crowd.
Right.
Yeah.
Or they would just like not participate on principle, in which case I guess I win by default, which I'll take. So.
Sure. Yeah. Shrek here also has to say that the hobby gives him a fun way to have fun and express himself, even if his grandmother doesn't get what it is and what he's doing and thinks it's silly.
Mm-hmm.
Since we're born in a different era.
I mean, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
You are born in a different era.
Grandma is right. It is silly. And I don't get it.
Yeah. It's one of those places where you can both be right, and yet here we are.
All right. So there you go. Maybe do we want to challenge another podcast to an aura off?
What podcast would we challenge?
There are other Beyond Sundays.
Oh, there we go. Challenge one of the other Beyond Sundays. Name thieves?
Yeah. Yeah. One, you're a name thief. When we started Beyond Sunday, we were the only Sunday.
Oh, geez.
Well, there was one, but it was dead.
Yeah.
They had not made a podcast in like 4 years.
And they're still not back.
They're still not back.
Yeah.
But the new people started in here after us. You stole us that we...
Get off our name.
Yeah.
Get off our lawn.
Yeah. And we're challenging you to an aura battle.
Yeah, we are.
We are.
We don't really know what that means.
We do know what it means, and we are ready to
Some
fight.
Some of us know what that means.
Loser has to change the name.
Oh, okay.
This is pretty... The stakes are real.
This is the end of Beyond Sunday, folks. This is...
You're going to have to come to us, though.
Oh, obviously.
Woodlands, Texas.
Yeah, we're not coming to you.
Do you want to set a date?
How about March 31st?
That's pretty far. We need a lot of practice.
Is that a real day?
30 days, half September, April, June, and November.
All the rest of 31, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so March 31st is a real date.
There you go.
You heard it, everybody. March 31st or off.
We're going to forget.
Probably.
Yeah, 100%.
They're going to show up, though.
Yeah, and then we're going to be caught off guard because we're going to have forgotten.
I've got costumes in my office, so we're good.
That's true. Yeah.
We're good there. So
I've got some VBS costumes lying around.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're good.
Yeah.
We can whip something together pretty quickly, I'm sure.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, let's get into our main topic, slavery.
We can't put it off for any longer.
Yeah.
We can't come up with anything else to install this.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. What hard things in the Bible?
Yeah.
What the Bible has to say about slavery?
It does.
Unfortunately, a lot.
Yeah.
That's kind of unfortunate. Yeah. All right. So I think it's helpful to acknowledge two things.
I'm just waiting for this. What do we got? Number one.
Number one, slavery in the Bible
yes.
is not chattel slavery that existed in America.
True.
That these are two separate, and I'm, yes, in quotes, ideas.
Yes.
Like that it is not the same thing. That's important, number one. Because usually the context for us in slavery here as an American is probably that.
Yes.
At least that's how we see it most clearly. And look, slavery exists in America today, in the prison population. Slavery exists around the world today. These things are reality. But when we think of the word slave, that's what probably comes to mind. Agreed. As an American citizen.
Yes.
So that's number one. Number two,
mm-hmm,
we should not soften what the Bible says about slavery because it is not American chattel slavery.
Agreed. We should place it in its context, but we should also acknowledge,
yeah,
the hard things that it says, because whether or not the Bible was talking about the American system of slavery, the Bible and the way that it speaks about slavery was definitely used to prop up the American system of slavery.
Yes. And I've seen online that the Bible slavery is more like debt servitude.
And within the context of the Bible, yeah.
Is accurate-ish, I would say.
Yeah.
As in, some slaves,
yes,
have debt servitude. That would mean, like, they've accrued debts. The only way out of those debts is to sell themselves into slavery,
mm-hmm,
until the debt is paid off.
Which often was never.
Or in Israel, they had at least rules. We don't really know if they ever followed those rules.
About the Jubilee year.
Of times where, like, all debts were canceled. We also have household slavery, war captives, people born into slavery and become slaves, and foreigners who were bought and sold into slavery.
Yes.
So, like, yeah, is there debt servitude in the Bible connected to the word slavery? Absolutely.
Yep.
It is not the only people that are connected to the word slavery.
Yeah, and one of the things that happens in the biblical time, right, is that there are so many different cultures that are a piece of this, and all of them had different understandings of what slavery meant or was, or who could be or could not be, right? And so the Bible is portraying one perspective in a context in which Assyrians and Babylonians and Israelites and Egyptians and eventually Romans, right, all had different understandings of who slaves were and what that meant. Yeah. So, like, it's complicated.
Yeah. So two things, not chattel slavery in America. Should also not just debt servitude.
Right.
I don't want to soften slavery by saying it's not that, but it is not an easier form of slavery that's presented in the Bible. All right. Okay, so let's talk through Old Testament slavery.
Yes.
First, let's talk about the liberation aspect.
We're going to start with that?
I think so.
Seems weird to be liberated before you're enslaved, but okay, that's fine.
I want to start with the positive side. The things that the Bible has to say about slavery that I think are positive that abolitionists picked up on in Scripture. And I think that I want to start there. You want to flip it?
No, that's great. You're in charge. I'm following your lead. I just was surprised.
Okay. So liberation theology, which is a very big piece of Old Testament scripture, is liberation theology centered around this slavery and how that theologians are scholars throughout the years have latched onto that to bring into their own situations of liberation.
Yes.
Okay. So first we have Israel under Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Exodus chapter 2, I'm doing a class on Exodus right now.
Yeah.
Early parts is God heard the people's groaning out in slavery and remembered them.
Yes.
He is close to those people in slavery.
Mm-hmm.
That might be closer to American chattel slavery.
Yeah.
You know,
they were slaves of a nation as opposed to an individual, but yes, I think it's treatment and expectation like probably was similar.
Yeah, and their babies were being killed.
I just said treatment and
I'm saying
I was agreeing with you.
Other parts, God reminds the people, hey, you were slaves in the lands of Egypt, and so you must treat people underneath you differently.
Yes.
Now this is a two-parter, right? Because we have like, hey, remember you were slaves, treat people differently. But they also have slaves. We never quite get to, and this is, even if you, whatever your stance, walking away from this, the Bible never quite gets to no more slavery.
Agreed.
Yeah, we just do not get there.
Yeah, I would say the only place that we could point to that we get there would be Revelation. And that's like a future promise.
Yeah.
And even that, it's not like it says no more slavery. It's just that the understanding would be that there are no more slaves at that time.
Okay. Here's some other rules in Exodus. When you buy a male Hebrew slave, he will serve you for 6 years.
Okay.
So we have a limit.
Yeah. So I buy you, if you're a Hebrew.
If you're a Hebrew.
I buy you.
If you're a Hebrew, yeah.
I get you for 6 years.
Our debt servitude, 6 years. Mm-hmm. So, okay, there you go. Other stuff that we got in Deuteronomy here. When you send
just to clarify, doesn't mean he can't be sold again in 6 years. I buy you for 6 years, and then I sell you to someone else, and you work for them for 6 years?
So the servant in the seventh year is supposed to be set free.
Okay, all right.
Now, maybe, I mean, look.
Right, what's the practice?
The slave owner, maybe you're already exploiting another human being.
Sure.
So, like, exploiting a loophole doesn't seem that big of a deal at that point, you know?
Yeah. But, if I sell you at 6 years and their clock restarts, right? Yeah.
When you send a male slave out from you as a free person.
Mm-hmm.
You shall not send them out empty-handed.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Doesn't mean you have to send them as a free person, but if you do,
when after those 7 years,
yeah, give them something.
You're giving them something on the way out the door.
Okay.
Okay. And slaves who have escaped to you from their owner shall not be given back.
Oh.
Escaped slaves, they're good.
Yeah.
And you shall not kidnap a person to enslave them.
Okay, well, we definitely didn't do that in the United States. Escaped slaves were given back all the time, and we kidnapped everybody to put them into slavery. So
sure. I also don't think we were doing that over 6 years.
Fair enough.
So that might have been part of the problem.
Yeah.
Okay, so I did a lot of what do people say about this?
Yeah.
Reading comments, you know, from scholars, from lay people arguing this. This is a popular topic.
Comments, like internet comments or like commentary?
Both.
Okay.
But I will say this. Debating slavery in the Bible is a popular practice on the Christianity subreddit.
We should come up with other things to talk about.
It's a top five.
Oof. All right.
The gays are number one, obviously.
Sure. Okay.
Trump is probably also in the top five.
All right.
So.
Where's Beyond Sunday fall?
We haven't made it. You know, we're outside the top five. I can't say where. Maybe sixth.
It's not top five.
Maybe. Yeah.
All right.
Plus, I did blank. Is it a sin? That's another one that everybody wants to know.
Yeah.
Is blank a sin?
It is. Okay.
But this is a top, you know, and oftentimes they're like, hey, the Bible. People who are trying to defend the Bible. And this is a common thing for Christians. Mm-hmm. We feel like somebody's attacking the Bible. That's our book.
Yeah.
We got to defend it. And so they'll defend it by saying, like, God is regulating this practice.
Right.
And that regulation equals God helping people on the bottoms. And then they're bringing up, it's just debt slavery, or it's just indentured servitude.
Yeah.
And things like that. How do you feel about this as like a defense? And because of here's the good, and I'm using good in quotes,
I don't have a problem with it as a defense. I think my bigger problem is feeling the need to defend the Bible.
Yeah.
Like, if we really feel like the Bible is the word of God, why do I need to defend it? Like, right? I mean, like the scripture should defend itself. And obviously these things are hard. And I think we should accept that they're hard.
Yeah.
Rather than thinking I need to step in because I'm the one who has the wisdom to justify God's word. Forget that, man. I'm an idiot. Like, right? Yeah. I don't have any of the kind of authority or wisdom to do that sort of thing. God's spirit is the only thing that can justify God's word. And so what it requires of me is to humble myself before someone who has these questions and say, yeah, you're right. These are really hard. And I don't have all the answers to that. And yet, here's what I see God doing that points me to a different story or points me to what the future holds or however
it is. Obviously, the people who are, I think, doing most of, like, I need to defend the Bible are going to be biblical literalists.
Yeah, I already have a problem with that.
So, like that, so for them, again, like, the God, as presented in Scripture, being okay with something so barbaric and difficult,
agreed.
Like, they need to get in there and figure it out. I think mostly for their own heads.
Yeah.
Because they don't know how to navigate that. And so this is the ways, arguing it is the way to entrench it into their own head, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I would definitely, I mean, we'll kind of get in, maybe let's get into the, one of the harder texts. Mm-hmm. Those were not easy because they talk about slavery.
Sure.
But at least like, I can see in them like, the Israelites are supposedly doing things differently than surrounding communities.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they did or not.
Right.
Is a bit of a question.
Yeah.
But at least like, I'm seeing a, it's not as brutal as it was in surrounding areas.
Yeah.
But we also have some harder texts.
Okay. We haven't even gotten to the hard stuff yet.
Yeah. All right, so in Leviticus, we have rules and regulations for Hebrew slaves.
Ooh.
But if you're not a Hebrew, you may be acquired, treated as inheritable property, and cannot, and your time limit is not up after 7 years.
Okay.
Do you want to read that?
Sure. What is it?
Leviticus 25, 20, 44 to 46.
Leviticus 25, 24?
44.
44.
Yeah.
To 46. As for the male and female slaves whom you may have, it is from the nations around you that you may acquire male and female slaves. You may also acquire them from among the aliens residing with you and from their families that are with you who have been born in your land, and they may be your property. You may keep them as possession for your children after you, for them to inherit as property. Those you may treat as slaves, but as for your fellow Israelites, no one shall rule over the others with harshness.
Yeah.
So.
That's tough.
Not great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because this is Levitical law, right? This is part of the people coming out of slavery, coming into freedom, right? Being led through the wilderness and then receiving these instructions for how to live together. And yeah, that would be the tradition that is followed here. Now, we have talked many times on the podcast about our freedom in Christ and that through our freedom in Christ, we're no longer bound by Levitical law. So we should not feel the same obligation or deference to Levitical law that perhaps the Jewish people would.
Sure.
But even within that context, yeah, it's real tough to read the word saying this is the instruction that's given to us in scripture that, oh yeah, you can take slaves from foreigners living among you or from neighboring nations. Just don't slave the other Israelites.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, in those debates, the attacks are centered on like, if God hates slavery, why not just abolish it?
Yeah.
Why do we have it at all? And maybe we'll have to come back to that question here towards the end as we're kind of figuring out what our answer is. Yeah. Why is this a law at all? I agree, I'm not bound to it as a Christian. Why were they bound to it? You know, is you know, the question that
I
think we should ask. All right, so we got some other ones here. From Exodus, this is a slave owner strikes a male or female slave with a rod, and the slave dies.
Yeah.
Punishment on the owner.
Okay.
If he gets better after a couple of days. It's no big deal.
Okay, so don't kill him.
Don't kill him. Beating.
Beating fine, killing bad.
Yeah, to, you know, beating brutally is you know, NBD, but do not kill them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we also have, okay, hey, if a master permanently injures a slave, so takes an eye, does something to them that permanently injures them, freedom is required.
Okay.
Now that seems good, right? Like that, but Old Testament law would be like, if I take your eye, you get my eye.
Yeah.
Like, so this is not full justice under Old Testament law. It's partial justice.
Yeah. You're being set free, but you're not actually getting to take your master's eye.
There's no restoration to the relationship in that thing. So it's, you're still property. Because you're not fully a person.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's others, but I think that's probably...
It gets the thrust, yeah.
I think you're going to get that. Yeah. Here it is, Old Testament. It's bad.
Yeah.
I think, as we kind of attempt to, answer the question, why is this stuff in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
I think it can always sound a little bit like we're defending it and excusing it. And I don't want to do that. I want to acknowledge that it's bad and that it's harsh. But I also think we should at least try to answer the questions. Why is this stuff in the Bible? And what do we do with it now, 3,000 years later?
Yeah.
You know, like...
And I think within that context, like the cultural piece of, okay, this isn't the same thing as American slavery. It's complicated. It's not to soften it, but it's different, right? That is a cultural piece of what is happening, and is it moving the cultural needle forward for the time?
Yeah.
I think those are all reasonable things to be asking and thinking about without using them to say, like, that makes it fine, right? Yeah. Like, we're not saying it makes it fine, but it's an important cultural piece to have in mind for where the scripture was at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I think it's just somewhat of an acknowledgement that in the ancient world, slavery is kind of the engine of industry.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, as you said, right? It's still so much of an engine in our modern world, even though we'd like to believe to ourselves that we've abolished it.
Including in America.
Right.
Our prison population are essentially slaves. So,
yeah.
And maybe you as a listener are on board with that, but that's just the reality.
Mm-hmm.
And when we abolished slavery in the Bill of Rights, in the amendments, prisoners are exempt from that, that abolishment.
Correct.
So,
and we came up with a whole bunch of ways to make people prisoners.
And a lot of ways to make it at that time that continue today, especially that I think, you know, affect the minority population a little bit stronger than the majority white population.
Yeah. They're at least enforced more with a minority population, whether or not they,
For me, one of the things I want to be like, yeah, it's easy to look down my nose at the ancient text with the realities that the country I live in still has a version of slavery inside its borders.
Yeah.
And the things in my house, how many of them have been produced and made by slave labor in a different country somewhere in the world? And that I kind of know generally.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sparing myself from the knowledge specifically, you know, like, so I think the question is, you know, it's easy to say like, why didn't they just abolish slavery? Like maybe the thing is like, why aren't we?
Yeah.
Like, I think like that we kind of have the benefits of cheap stuff.
Yeah.
And we can kind of put it out of sight, out of mind in the world today.
Oh, yeah. I've never, like, looked at a slave in the eye.
Yeah.
But I've definitely, like you said, there's definitely stuff in my house.
Sure.
That was almost certainly made by people.
Parts of it.
Yeah,
almost certainly. Without a doubt. You know, like, and, yeah. So it's understandably complex, right?
Yeah.
So why doesn't God just abolish it? I think the best answer is I don't really know.
Yeah I don't, but we haven't either, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not like we have gotten rid of it entirely and we're like, oh look, God didn't even do this, but we did. No, like we haven't figured this out.
Yeah,
we haven't done it. We've, you know, made moves and made strides maybe to make ourselves feel better, but we haven't done it. And
sure.
Yeah
So maybe let's get into slavery in the New Testament.
Okay
Jesus don't think talks about it much.
No.
I mean, in parables, he does talk about slaves.
Sure. It definitely was a cultural piece that he was aware of.
Your Bible may say the word servant.
Yeah.
That might be softening the blow.
Yes.
Translationally. And also, like, again, in America, when we see the word slave, it's impossible to separate it from chattel slavery. That image. And that's not fully what it means.
Right.
So maybe the translators are using the word servant to try to get away from that imagery, but it also kind of softens it, right?
Yeah, agreed.
So, and I'm not quite sure what is the better.